Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Holy Saturday, April 16th, and I am reading from the New International Version. In the book of Exodus today, we're in chapter 21, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Then we're in Psalm 115, which I think is the sovereignty and serendipity of the Lord, because this is considered a group of Hallel psalms that would have been read or sung at the Passover, and this is the time of the Passover. And then we're going to get into Romans, where Paul is trying to articulate this angst that he feels in his soul because his brothers and sisters, Israelites, the Jewish people, by and large, have rejected Jesus. Okay. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. These are the laws you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. If a man sells his daughter as a servant, she is not to go free as male servants do. If she does not please the master who has selected her for himself, he must let her be redeemed. He has no right to sell her to foreigners because he has broken faith with her. If he selects her for his son, he must grant her the rights of a daughter. If he marries another woman, he must not deprive the first one of her food, clothing, or marital rights. If he does not provide her with these three things, she is to go free without any payment of money. Let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 115, but I wanted to read you a little note in my study Bible concerning Psalms 113 through 118. It says, the Egyptian halal, which came to be used in Jewish liturgy at the great religious festivals, so the Passover, the Festival of Weeks, and Tabernacles, the Dedication, the New Moon, all of these, at the Passover, Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the meal, before the second cup was passed. And Psalm 115 through 18 were after the meal, when the fourth cup had been filled. So today we're reading 115. So this is after the fourth cup has been filled. This is what it says. Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about this psalm and how it discusses idols. Just yesterday, I think it was, two days ago, we talked about the Ten Commandments in our reading, and I didn't get to talk much about all the commandments, but I think it's the second commandment that says, do not make any graven images or any carved images in my likeness. And when we were studying this just recently in a Bible study, the main idea was that when you make a graven image of God, just like the Israelites made a golden calf, it wasn't that they were trying to serve some other God. They were just trying to put God in some kind of picture. And the picture is always limited. So if we want to see God just as a God of love, then it's not a true picture of who he is, because he's also a God of justice and his wrath does come. And oftentimes when we make idols, it's that we want God to be in our little box, who we want him to be. But God presents himself in fullness throughout the scriptures, and that's where we get a better picture of him. And so it's dangerous for us to make idols, just like it was dangerous for them, because one, it's made by a human hand, but also it does not represent the fullness of God, our eternal God, our all-knowing God, and the God who reveals himself most clearly in his word. All right, let's move over to Romans chapter 9. Let me get there in my Bible. And the title in this section says, Paul's Anguish Over Israel. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18. The study Bible says this about this section. Well, really, it's about all of 9 through 11. That God's way with Israel. Among other matters, Paul addresses three urgent questions occasioned by the rejection of the gospel by many Jews in Paul's day. Number one, has the word of God to Israel concerning her salvation come to nothing? Number two, has God completely and finally rejected his people Israel? And then third, is the gospel incapable of saving the Jews? And his answer to all three is an emphatic no. All right, Romans 9, 1 through 18. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated: at the appointed time I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger." Just as it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together and as we contemplate on this Holy Saturday our Lord Jesus in his crucifixion and his death on our behalf, and the day which symbolizes him being in the grave. And tomorrow I look forward to celebrating Easter Sunday with you if you're able to be with us in person. And if not, I will look forward to saying he is risen. He is risen indeed on the podcast. As we pray today, I just want to say some of the characteristics and attributes of God aloud, and then let's just praise the Lord for who he is. Father, with the psalmist, we say, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness, because of your attentive nature, that you respond to our needs, because of your compassion, that you care for your children, because you are our deliverer, you rescue, you save. You are generous with us and glorious and good. Holy is your name. You are perfect, pure, and without sin. You are just, Lord, and fair in all that you do. You are loving and merciful, all powerful. You are our provider. Lord, we thank you for meeting our needs. You are our refuge, a place of safety for us. And you are wise. You know what is best. And we thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. We pray that you would give it to us through your Spirit, and you would help us today to be conduits of your light to a dark world around us. We pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen.